morning. I'd like to thank everybody for joining us from far and wide. This morning's shiur, which I think is the last topic of the year, hope next week to have a big review. But the topic this week is based on an article by Rav Aaron Lapiansky. Lapiansky is a Rosh Yeshiva in Silver Spring, Maryland, as well as probably one of the most influential voices in the Torah world today, for sure the American scene. He's American born. His wife might be Israeli. He's married to the daughter of Rebbeinu Finkel, Yeshiva Namir. So, but Rav Lapiansky, voice, he's written Svarim, books, he has a big following, and he wrote this article recently in Mishpacha magazine, and I believe it was considered, they have stats, got the most hits on their website. You could download, you could read articles of the magazine free online. It had by far the most ever for an article published. I know my children's schools, the Mechanchim, were quoting this, and I think it made a big impact on people. What was this article about? We sent it out to people in the share. So it was entitled, "Sometimes Mashiach is Not the Solution." And the article basically goes through 3 points in terms of Mashiach and the situation we're in. And I think the reason why it generated so much positive spin is because it's really touching on an issue which we're all grappling with. The whole wide world, the Jewish world in particular, that we're part of, are grappling with this big worldwide pandemic. And it's something which is not a little thing that just goes away overnight. It's something that's here in Eretz Yisrael, something that they thought they defeated and unfortunately came back. Other places too, here in Florida, goes up and down. It's a roller coaster. New York, at least from the government's perspective, it's alive and well, and many restrictions are still in place. And it's a type of life-altering experience. It's so major that people's reaction is, this is not normal. We're used to a normal way of life. And when you see, when you live through a pandemic like this, something's got to be up. And the Mashiach fervor, the talk that this is Ikfas of the Mashiach, this is connected with Mashiach, is probably something that hits the minds of many, many Jews. And Rabbi Lapiansky addressed that in his article, set on 3 points. The first point, he said people came to him with questions, you know, people all excited, especially before Pesach, because this means Mashiach is coming now. He said a Talmud of his who was running a girls' school said the girls are ready to start singing their Shira. So they bring along their musical instruments, just like the women did in Mitzrayim when the Jewish people left. They brought with their stuff, so they're asking, should they pack in their tambourines wherever they go for Pesach. Probably at that point they were thinking they're going somewhere for Pesach. And Lapiansky's response is, unfortunately, such ideas that this, because it's a pandemic, it has to be, there's a good chance that that's the heralding of Mashiach. He says, probably shows a tremendous lack of knowledge of Jewish history. Babianski writes, history quickly negates the thought that this itself should herald Mashiach. Cholera, typhus epidemics regularly swept through Europe. Women commonly died in childbirth. A person had an appendectomy was usually deadly. Any memoir written before the war years almost always features death as a central part of family life. The typical account of yeshiva life in Europe inevitably records the tragic patira of at least one bacher. Towns were often destroyed by fires that ravaged the wooden homes in an instant, rendering entire populations homeless and penniless. In more recent times, we had the polio epidemic. During the pre-polio vaccine era, 1950s, if a child woke up with a fever, his parents rightfully worried that he would spend the rest of his life in an iron lung or in a wheelchair. Rav Lansky himself says it happened to his first cousin. So if people had a perspective of history, realize that these things happened before. Okay. Bianski is going back. The latest date he had there in his stories was the 1950s. But that means, okay, people alive today, the grandparents, parents involved in the Mechanach people, look, we've had tough times, we've had periods. And that alone does not necessarily bring us to Mashiach. He also made a whole point about talking about the danger of disappointment. We also know throughout history that there are many movements, groups, periods that people thought that this and this person, this and this leader would be Mashiach, and it turned out that he wasn't. And the degree of disappointment that that community, that those people, his followers, would feel once that happened was tremendous. And that itself is very dangerous. So those were two of the arguments that Rabbi Lapiansky put in his article. But really the main argument that he spends time, which I think is the crux of the article, hits on the issue of what should we be yearning for? What should we be looking forward for when we think about Mashiach? And this is the area which I'd like to spend time in today's share. That's why I named today's share Mashiach, what are we looking forward to? An analysis of a recent popular article. That's the article of Rabbi Lapiansky that we're going to be talking about. So before I get to Rabbi Lapiansky's main point, I want to put this whole Mashiach stuff in context. We know it's part of our davening. Shouldn't say the official part of our davening, but it's in, I would believe, all Siddurim. The end of davening, you have the Yud Gimel Ikrim, which 12th is Ani Mamid Be'muna Shleima Be'vias of Mashiach. Person believes, strong belief in the coming of Mashiach. V'yafal Bish Yismamea, even though it's delayed, Imkozeh Chakel B'chol Yom Sheyavo, you await it every time it comes. What's the basis of this animamim? Perhaps also, what's the importance? You know, do you have to say all 13 animamims? Could you specifically single out this one? I'd like to talk about it. The basis of it is the Gemara. Let's start first, Gemara and Shabbos. It's in the middle of the sheets. Gemara and Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph. Those who did Daf Yomi came across this. Yiras Hashem Hi Yatzara. Darshan is a pasuk that a person should have fear of Hashem. Amar Rava, B'shah Shemachnisim Adon Ledin. When a person comes after 120 years up to Shemayim, And he now has the ultimate judgment. Famous Gemara. Obviously, you know, the same way people worry to make sure they have a will, worry, make sure to have life insurance. This is a Gemara that has to be up there too. When they take a person to divine judgment, Amrim lo, these are the questions. This is the faher, you might say, that person's going to get after 120 years in Shemayim. The first question they ask, Nasata, Nasasa v'Nasata b'Emuna, did you do business honestly? That's a tough question to answer. A person has to know, with all his means of earning a parnasa, with all his business dealings, with all his government aid applications, tax forms. Yeah, it's appropriate to say, right? July 15th is coming up. With all these business dealings, did you do it honestly? That's the first question a person is going to ask when it comes to Shemayim. Talk about the ultimate audit. When a person comes up to Shemayim, they're going to ask you, and the Supreme Court can't block your taxes from getting out. They have your taxes. They have all your business dealings, all the pay stubs up there in Shemayim. They're going to ask you, Newt, did you do business properly? First question they ask. Second question they ask, Did you set aside a set amount of time to Torah? Yeah, we know you're busy with Parnasa. But for care, they know you're busy with honest Parnasa. Could be honest, to earn an honest living is harder than pulling shtick. So we know you're very busy with Parnasa, but nevertheless, you set aside time to learn Torah. And, you know, goes for every day of the week, Sunday too. Kavata Itim LaTorah. Third question, Asakta B'Pir V'Rivya. Interesting. Most people don't realize that's a third question. Person built a family. Were they involved in procreation? And here's the fourth question. Tzipisa Li Yeshua. Did you look forward to, did you yearn for Mashiach? Just for the record, there's one or two other questions they ask. That sounds to be an issue of how deep your Gemara learning is, your Torah learning is. And it ends off that the importance is Yiras Hashem. Okay. But the concept of Tzibisa LeYeshua means that's a question they're going to ask you, just like business, just like Kaveyat Matara, just like did you build a family. They're going to ask you, were you looking forward to Mashiach coming? And I think that part of the Gemara is a Chiddush. There are many concepts in Yiddishkeit, but here you see in this Gemara in Shabbos, the Faher, the ultimate test, is on this area of Tzipisa LeYeshua too. It's not just a nice thing. You know what? We should look forward to Mashiach coming. It's one of the top four things that we're held accountable. Is it something we're looking forward to Mashiach? And therefore, that puts a little bit more of a focus, perhaps a lot more of a focus, of ourselves. Hey, do we live life? Are we thinking about Mashiach? Is Mashiach something that, you know, it's been so long, it's not really in the forefront of your mind. I have my summer vacation planned, pre-corona. I'm redoing my home. Unfortunately, for many, in many, many ways, this has been the most comfortable gullus that Jews have ever been in. It's probably the most comfortable time period Jews have been in since before the Churban. And the concept of Tzipisa LeYeshua, hey, Are you looking forward to Michelle coming? Can I take my summer home with me and my circle of friends? What about my favorite restaurant? Is it coming along too? See, peace of Yeshua, we're very comfortable. But a person has to look forward to Mashiach and look forward to that time period. I saw someone brought from the Brisker Rav that the language that the Siddur uses, V'yafa pishi yisma mea, even though it's delayed, im kozen, nevertheless, achakalo b'chol yom sheyavo. He said some people might read that as a question and an answer. How can you believe in Munish Lemivias Mashiach? It hasn't come all along. But the Brisker Rav says it's not really a question. There's no good Havamina here. It's trying to emphasize a statement. Afal Pisha Yisma, even though it's been delayed, that doesn't change it one iota. The fact that I've been waiting for Mashiach, and my parents, my grandparents, my great grandparents, going back hundreds, fortunately, thousands of years. Even though we're waiting for so long, that doesn't affect me. That doesn't take away from my resolute belief that Mashiach is coming. This, what we have in the Siddurim, is really based. What's the source of this? It's the Rambam at the end of the 10th parak in Masechet Sanhedrin. The Rambam in his Perush Mishnayos has a lengthy piece where he goes through all the 13 ikrim, what he considers to be the 13 core beliefs of a Jew. And the Rambam even apologizes. He says this is not normally what he does with his Perush Mishnayos. He just explains the Mishnah that's there, and it's relatively a short Perush. But over there, the Rambam spends so much ink going through these 13 beliefs, and that's where the Siddur was organized, that it has these animam, breaks it down and summarizes what the Rambam said. All of these are based on the Rambam. I'd like to read to you what the end of the Rambam writes. This is after he goes through all his 13 ikrim. He writes, V'nirachti b'dvarim harbe v'yotza yotzasi minin chaburi. I spent a lot of time writing about this. And I went out for the normal process, the normal topic that I dedicated this parish of Mishnayos for. I saw there's a tremendous benefit when it comes to strengthening Jews' emunah, their belief. The Rambam says, you know what I did? I took so many things which were scattered among so many svarim from the earlier generation. Therefore, da'osam, you should know these 13 Ikrei Emuna. Yeshivas, we should give tests on it. Every Talmud should know the Ani Mamans by heart. V'hetzliach ba'em, and be successful in understanding it. V'chozar lehem, and make sure to review it. Pa'amim rabos, many times. Don't just review it, don't just memorize it. V'hisbonim ba'em, hisbonim nesyalfa. And you should spend time thinking about it with deep thought. The Rambam's telling us we can't just know them. It's not just a quiz. You got to understand them. You have to focus on them. What these Yud Gimel Ikrim are. And remember, I'll leave aside the topic what it was. But I remember there was a debate in the Jewish world when I was a kid. I think I was in high school. It's a major debate in the Jewish world. It was, I believe, regarding Eretz Yisrael. And the Novominsker Rebbe wrote a piece, I think it was from the Jewish Observer, Alav HaShalom. think it was based on an address he gave at a good convention, where the Rominsker Zatzal cut through the whole issue with such clarity. And he said, look, the Rambam gave us 13 Ikrim. These are the core beliefs of what it means to be a Jew. If you put something else up there that the Rambam didn't, then you're mistaken. The Rambam says these are the 13 core beliefs. And this is what we paskin like of being a Jew. And to have the clarity and the depth of understanding of what makes these 13 different. There are 613 mitzvahs. There are unlimited hashkafos and das Torahs, Torah perspectives. But these 13 are the root, the core of what it means to be a Jew. The Rambam continues. He writes, skipping a couple lines, L'chein, lo tamar b'kriyoso. Don't go and read through this quickly. I didn't just put this together based on what swarm I had. And, you know, I had a deadline. I wanted to write an article for a magazine, for a newspaper. So whatever I was able to gather by the deadline, that's what I put together. It's not how Rav Moshe ben Maimon did it. Ela la'acher ian gadol. I did this after tremendous depth of understanding, vizbonenos, and very deep thought. Deus bros, after I got clarity. I got clarity in thoughts which are mitos, which are true. Vizulasia mitos, and I clarify the difference between things are true and things are not true. V'yadati mashi roi lahamin bahem. And I know what's correct, what people should believe in. So the Rambam at the end of his Yugim Ikrim is giving us a very clear, I would say, user's guide. How to use the Yugim Ikrim. There's something a person should learn and go over and again get clarity in, understand it, and utilize it. And if you think about it, you know, these animamins, these Yugim Ikrim that the Rambam wrote, played a tremendous, tremendous role throughout history in Jewish people's beliefs, even the most challenging of times. The clarity and the faith that people got from coming back to these words. So that as a background, as a context, I think we have to ask ourselves a question. We see the Gemara in Shabbos tells us Tzipis of Yeshua is one of the top four questions you're going to be asked. Achamei Vesem Shana. If you see how the Rambam formulated and spent so much time, great effort, in putting out these Yudim Ikrim, and was supposed to be yearning for Mashiach, begs for a simple question. What are we yearning, what are we looking forward to in terms of Mashiach? So, I would like to begin here, I'll focus in on Rabbi Lapiansky's approach that was brought in that magazine that he wrote. And he says the best place to understand what we're yearning for when it comes to Mashiach is the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Malachim. The Rambam writes over there, I'll quickly read through some of these halachas. Bimei HaMelech HaMashiach, times of the King of the Mashiach. Kishyasev Malchuso V'yizkapsoi Lov Kol Yisrael. When he has the power, he has the kingdom, and all the Jews gather. Yichsru kulam al piv baracha kodesh etnach alav. Everyone will be, they'll be connected with Yichus based on his baracha kodesh. They'll know who's considered a Jew. Fortunately, a big question. Vnei Levi mitar tchila of amru zem yichus kolein zem yichus Levi. Vidochem she'enim yichus in Israel. Unfortunately, they'll have to push away those who are not true Jews. and Klal Yisrael will be miyachas based on their shvatim. It's actually a beautiful point we see in this week's parsha, how Klal Yisrael is divided up based on shvatim, not just shvatim within the shvatim, that they're divided up based on their mishpachos, the Ramban writes. Okay, the first thing he talks about, yeah, that he'll help restore the clear yichus of who's a Jew. He says, Lo nisavu al-Nevi'im v'chachami yimos ha-Mashiach. All the Nevi'im prophesized about the days of Mashiach. Lo k'dei sh'yishtu akol ha-Olam. Lo k'dei sh'yirdu b'gayim. It wasn't just for our power, that now no one's going to mess with Israel. It's not just for us to have rejoicing with parties. We should be free to sit and learn. Okay. He says also azman lo yesham lo rav lo mechama lo kina. We have so much good in the world. And we'll have tremendous pleasures. The whole world be focused on knowing Hashem. And that's the concept. Kimalar, it's Deus Hashem. The whole world be filled with knowledge of Hashem. Kimayim liyam chasim. And with this, the Rambam actually finishes his Yad HaChazaka. So these are just some of the things the Rambam talks about when it comes to Mashiach. And based on this, I believe it's some of the pieces I read, maybe a couple things a little bit earlier. But Rabbi Lapiansky says there's really four aspects that we're looking forward to in terms of Mashiach. This he delineates in the article. He says Mashiach will restore our nationhood by reinstating a central authority. He goes through a piece. I might as well read his words because he has a certain flavor. He says, what's this big milah of having a central authority? He says, yes, thankfully, we have our Gedolei Torah. But even that seems to be subjective depending on who you're speaking to. For those who point to the Moetzes as leadership, I would ask, do you mean Agudas Moetzes? Degos Moetzes? Peleg's Moetzes? Shatz Moetzes Chachmei HaTorah? Quite a few different groups to choose from. Is it the Crown Heights Beis Din? And what about Satmar and others who don't subscribe to any of the above? And Centralist Orthodox and Modern Orthodox? And the many Yidden who don't fit into any of these categories? This is the emphasis that Rabbi Lapiansky has of the milah of having one central authority that all Jews in all the aforementioned categories would accept. Yeah, that's one of the jokes. You know, is Mashiach going to be Ashkenazi or Sephardi? You know, how are you going to find someone, Hasidish or Litvish? How are you going to find one person that everyone's going to respect? Doesn't sound so simple. The second point that Mashiach will bring is will restore the wholeness of the Jewish people. And this is part of what we just read in the Rambam, that unfortunately there are talks about the Yichus issue, but really besides Yichus, there are many Jews who wandered astray. It's really the issue of assimilation, it's the issue within the frum communities of what you call OTD, people off the derech. And when Mashiach comes, Be'ez Hashem will solve that. Third point, he says, Mashiach will restore Torah to Klal Yisrael. That, okay, I'll read to you Rabbi Lapiansky's words on this. We identify ourselves as Shomrei Torah Mitzvos, and we do live up to that description. Yet, at best, we keep a minority of the Mitzvos. We do not observe Kachim, the Haros, much of Zerayim, Sanhedrin, Knossos, and on and on. True, it's not our fault, but if we genuinely believe that mitzvahs perfect man, we are woefully lacking. Mashiach's third task is to restore all of the mitzvahs that are performed at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. It's another big area we're missing. And finally, the Rabbeinu's clarification of the 4 points that Mashiach will bring back is Mashiach will restore the divine presence. The Shekhinah is in Galus. It's only through Mashiach that the Shekhinah will be back in a more full sense, and that's what we're looking forward to when Mashiach comes. So these are 4 areas: our nationhood, our central authority, bring back lost Jews, returning Torah and mitzvot in its totality, and the Shekhinah will be back with us. The common denominator between these 4 things is their big, broad, nationwide issues which affect all of Klal Yisrael, the Shekhinah coming back, and these are all big points. Lapiansky goes on is he makes a point about how most people feel when the pandemic hits, or really other tsaras in their life, and how they connect with Mashiach. I'm reading you from the article. When we describe Mashiach as solving our health issues, solving the shidduch crisis, solving legal issues, and so on, well, we are looking for a solution to a personal issue. Our yearning has nothing to do with Mashiach. It has to do with our blood pressure, our bank account, the IRS, or our child waiting for a shidduch. Lapiansky strongly puts that this is not what we're supposed to be yearning for when it comes to Mashiach. He goes further. He gives a mashal towards the end of his article. Imagine that you are at a wedding of very fine people. At the end of the chasna, as you wish mazel tov to one of the chatanim, he remarks, "I wish that my late parents were alive and with us tonight." Your eyes mist, and you do that click sympathetically. It's a good description. And he continues. The Baal Simcha continues. Because they would have picked up the bill for the wedding tonight. What would you think of the Baal Simcha? He's telling you that he feels bad that his parents aren't here. But this is what he's focusing on? That his parents would have paid the bill? This is what we're focusing on? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, we're looking forward to the concept of Mashiach. For what? For your petty, small, personal issues? Are you looking forward for things which are selfish to you? Or you should be looking forward to the broader Klal Yisrael issues, nationwide issues, the Shekhinah and Galus. And you're worried about your finances? You're worried about a shidduch crisis? That is Lapiansky's approach. And I found, similarly, Yehuda Leib Chasman, who's a mashkiach in European yeshivas, and say for Or Yahel, it has a similar point addressing that when it comes to yearning for Mashiach, we have to yearn for the big things and not our own personal small things. I read the article and I took it all in. Something bothered me. You know, I think this is a reaction of many people. Many people, when they go through tsaras in life, one of the means of how they They machazik themselves and get out with emunah. They say, oh, I'm waiting for Mashiach. Mashiach will solve my problems. Well, Bianski's piece really says it's not the right thing to do. Really, we should be yearning when it comes to Mashiach for the global points, for the nationwide points. We can't get caught up in our petty things. He even makes this very strong mashal. What would you think of that guy, the Baal Simcha, who bemoans the fact his parents aren't here to celebrate with him, the Simcha, and talks about the fact that they would have paid the bill? You look down on such a person. He's so petty. So, what I'd like to do is perhaps offer a different approach. In fact, perhaps to find makaros and sources that are clearly against this conclusion. Before I get to that, I would add another question here in the topic. I found from Rav Sternbuch, Moshe Sternbuch, in his Sefer Mo'adim Muzmanim. It's the last piece, actually, in the regular volumes of the Sefer, Simen Shin Nun Beis. He's talking about Mashiach, and he brings the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, which is really alluded to, the Rambam here in the Yad HaChazakah, the end of Hilchos Malachim. The Rambam writes, reading you, this is Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Tes, Halacha Beis. Ne'eman es avu kol Yisrael neviyim v'chacham yimosu Mashiach. Why is it that everyone yearns for Mashiach? They should nuchum yim malacha, she'enim panikas l'ma'asuk v'torah. They should be relieved from the government. They don't let them to open the yeshivas, to be osuk in Torah, v'mitzas kahogin. V'yim zolhem urgua v'yir b'b'chachma k'dei sh'yizke l'chayim o'omam. And through this Mashiach, we'll be able to sit and learn Torah unabated, and we'll be zoche to inherit Olam Haba. So, Sternberg observes, look at the language of the Rambam. It's mashma, that we want Mashiach in order that we should be zoche to Olam Haba. He says, isn't that Shalom Lashma? Don't we say that a person should not serve Hashem amenas l'kabel pras? You should serve Hashem because it's the right thing to do, even shalom amenas l'kabel pras. Serving Hashem just for the reward is a low madrega. Yet over here, that's what the Rambam seems to be advocating. We should yearn for Mashiach, because when Mashiach comes, we're able to learn Torah and do mitzvahs on a great level, and we'll earn Olam Haba. That's our motivation. And if you look, the Rambam's not just talking about the regular people. He tells me, okay, the regular people, we need our Olam Haba focus. The Rambam's talking about the Neviim and the Chachamim. Really? Them too? Asks us a very strong question. How do we understand this language of the Rambam? So, I remember I found a sefer, got in there at the show a few years ago, and I talked and looked it up. It's a sefer called the Harivna, and I believe that was the name of it. And in that sefer, I had a piece that says, you want to go to Eitza for a person connecting 3 weeks with the Chorban and what Gullus means. And there, the author writes, he heard from a big tzaddik in Yerushalayim, the best thing to do is to focus on your own personal tzaras. So I found the sefer. I'm like, yes, this is clearly against the conclusion that others were saying. They're saying that they're casting, you know, scorn on somebody that is just focused on their own personal tzaras. They're supposed to, when it comes to Mashiach, they're supposed to look at the big, broader picture, the global picture, the national picture, the Shechina Begalos. And you should mind, they're giving out such etzas. Mishpacha magazine, they're not. At least, I assume the column will appear in both their American, probably the Israeli issues too. So, I'd like to, I found later this piece from Rabbi Sol Salanter, based on his Talmud from Itzla Petersburg, Yitzhak Blazer. It's at the end, is a Sefer Koch Ve'or. Rabbi Sol Salanter had a few chief Talmidim, great Talmidim. One of them was Rabbi Yitzhak Blazer. In fact, he was the one most instrumental. He wrote Rabbi Sol Salanter's Torah, Musar, in the Sefer Or Yisrael. In the back of it, there actually are some ideas, some shmuzim from Reb Itzla. But Reb Itzla also has his own Sefer with that same name, Koch Ve'or, much broader edition than the few pieces in the back of the Sefer Or Yisrael. And at the end of that Sefer, they collected lots of pieces from other Svarim that quoted Reb Itzla. So this is one of those pieces. It's quoting Itzla, who's quoting his Rebbe, Rabbi Sol Salanter. I'd like to read the piece in its entirety, just to see it clearly, because it's such, I believe, an important piece. I recently shared this in Yeshiva. I was happy to hear one of the Talmidim told me, I remember a few years ago, during Yom Narayim, Rabbi Luban shared this piece. And I'll show you where this piece also appears. It's a very, very fundamental piece in practical Yiddishkeit. So Shemati Mepi Mori Rebbe Agon Atzadik, Yitzhak Blazer, Sha'amar B'Shem Rabbal Agon Rebbe Sol Salanter, Anusach Yaman Narayim Shekasa B'Sidur Mitzvila. Sol Salanter was talking about the tefillos we have, Yaman Narayim. Sounds like a good hemshach, right? Well, the last year we have this year, we should already start talking about Yaman Narayim. It's actually not so far away. People are already fretting, what were they going to do with seating this year in shuls? Yom Narayim, boy. You think the price of the Luv and Esra are going to go up. Can you imagine the price of seats? So, the Siddur, we have the Lashon in Tefillah, V'chein Tein Pachtecha, Akol HaGoyim, that we daven on Yom Narayim and Rosh Hashanah for Hashem's authority should be on the whole world. And we see that you're supposed to be Mespal HaGolos HaShechina V'Kav HaShemayim. So Rabbi Yisrael said, this concept of davening for the end of Galus, the Galus HaShechina, is something that's really made for earlier generations. Avolo Achshav, but not for our generations. This is Rabbi Yisrael Salanter writing this 150, 200 years ago. Bizman she'anu roim sheka adam mitarid b'parnasaso, when a person's busy with his own life, let's be honest, he's not worried about Galus Hashchina. Mikol shekein, mi sheyesh lo nishpat gadol b'dinei mamonos. A person has a big court case. Vein tzarech lomar mishnei plili. It's a court case that is going to decide his life. Bivadei shlo yala rayon ladai lo Galus Hashchina. When your life is at stake, you're not worried about Galus Hashchina. Im kein, im anu ma'aminim she'barashanu yom kippurim hu yom hadin l'chaim v'l'mavet, chas v'shalom. If we honestly believe what Yom Kippur, Yom Narayim is, it's judgment whether we're going to live. V'ayinu chayai b'nei beisu tluyim manu minagim. Right? It's our lives and the lives of our family, which is hanging in the balance. Ich yal harayin l'vakash l'Galus Hashchina. You think you're really going to have kavana davening for the galus of Hashchina? B'doros Rishonim yadu sheyom adin. In the early generations, they knew it was Yom Adin. B'chol zos v'keim mesiris nefesh mitzidam. The early generations, there's a certain mesiris nefesh. K'shelo dalag on yadei achayim ha'pratim, that they're not going to focus on their own personal lives. U'vakish rachos kav v'shemayim. The early generation, they have to put aside their personal needs and focus on Kavod Shamayim. Avo anachnu she'im bishvil parnasa kala uzvim l'dag hagalos hashkina. But we are not going to put aside our parnasa and worry about the galos hashkina. Kim nevakish rosh hashana yom kippurim rak al galos hashkina. If we pay that lip service, that's what we're doing. We're davening for galos hashkina. Os hu she'enon maminim shrosh hashana yom kippurim u'yom hadin l'chaim v'amavis. It's a proof that we don't really believe in Yom Kippur. V'maminim shu Yom Hadin. And if we do believe that Yom Kippur is Yom Hadin, aleinu levakeish rak al chayim v'parnasa, then we only should be focused on our lives and our parnasa. Rabbi Yisrael is saying here what I'll call manav shaf. Yisrael is saying, come on. How do we think that we in our generation are really focused on Galus Hashkina? We're davening in Yom Nerum, that's what we're focused on, that's what we're really davening for. He says one of two things. He says, if we're davening for Galus Hashkina, then we're really fooling ourselves. And we don't believe that Rosh Hashanah is Yom Adin HaGadol V'Nora. We don't believe that. Because if we would believe that, that's all that we would daven for. The only thing we could daven for is our lives. Because that's how normal, that's how people react. And if we do the hair, it's our lives are at stake. And we think we're still off of Pekin, we're Baal Madrega, and we're Davin of the Galus Hashkina, like the early generations. Yisrael says, you're fooling yourself. You're not fooling Hashem. Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, right? Hegel Libi Lefanecha. Hashem knows our true thoughts, our true. Yisrael writes, Inyan Zehu Kol Gadol B'Kol Chas HaNefesh. This idea is a tremendous klal when it comes to understanding people. Lublira Ramos is atzmenu. We shouldn't fool ourselves. B'dvarim shesagu l'mayla mahafsulav yaseinu. That we're into things which is beyond our capacity. V'ameivin yizbonu midav hazeh shalom losis yad l'ramos is atzmo. The smart person will make sure not to fool himself. Raklasas akol b'kavan ritziyu v'ruya. This piece, I saw the Michtav Me'Eliyahu, Yehu Dessler brings down. He says, Halacha L'maisa, this is what we have to do. Despite what's written in earlier Sfarim, and he even says, despite even what's written a few hundred years ago by the Nefesh HaChayim, the Chayim V'Lajim, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was already testifying that in his day and age, the world changed, and it hasn't gotten better in terms of Madrigas and Ruchnias. We think we're in a higher madrega in Ruchnias and the generation of Yisrael Salanter, we're only fooling ourselves. But Yisrael Salanter says, Halacha L'maisa. So Reb Chaskel Levenstein said the same point. A person has to live life honestly, and most importantly, you have to be real. When you're talking about these big, lofty concepts, Mashiach, Beit HaMitzrayim, we're talking about the Galus HaShechina, Yom HaNorayim, Lechein Tein Pachtecha. Look, it's part of Nusach HaTefillah, 100% we say it. But to know where our focus is, the Yisrael says our focus has to be on personal things which we connect to, which really bother us. Don't tell me, I heard this amazing share about what the world will look like when Mashiach comes, and that's what I'm yearning for. Okay, on some level, that has meaning, but really the guts of it, the most we have to make, especially things like this, yearning for Mashiach, davening Yom HaNorayim. It has to be real. It has to be personal. So the right thing to do, Rabbi Yisrael would say, Rabbi Yisrael in this piece is not just defending those who look forward to Mashiach on a personal level. He's not just defending them. He's saying that's the only way to do it. Inyan zeh klal gadol b'kol chas hanefesh. This is a major rule. Ein Chadami, the Rambam wrote what Mashiach is. We should know it. But why do we yearn for Mashiach? Even the Rambam himself told us. We can answer the more than this mom's question. We look forward to Mashiach for our... It's one of the hardest concepts to connect with. Galus HaShchina, these 3 weeks, is one of the hardest times in the Jewish calendar. How do we connect with Galus, the destruction of Beis HaMikdash? We all know what a Beis HaMikdash is. And it's been thousands of years since we had it. We could hear nice esoteric shiurim, but that doesn't mean it hits us in our kishkas. What affects us and our madrega are things, our lives. When a person says, oh, I am yearning for Mashiach because I feel bad for the people who need shidduchim, for family members and friends, that's real. When a person says, I'm yearning for Mashiach, look at the struggles people are having now with parnasa, that's real. That's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to connect with. In terms of tzipis of Yeshua. That's Rabbi Saul Salanter's approach, which I think is dramatically different than the previously mentioned approach of Rav Ablyansky. Especially when it comes to things like hargashos of people in the world in Tavshin Pei. I don't think we can just look at the Rishonim and build binyanim off them. We have to go back to the past generations. Connect with Gedolim, as Rabbi Yisrael said, and through the ages post-Rabbi Yisrael, Gedolim, the Bali Musar, the Bali Kolchas and Nefesh said, this is what we're supposed to be focusing on. I'd like to end with, what we started with, Ani Man Bebuna Shlema Bevias Mashiach, Yafa Bishi Yisbamea, and Kozea Chakaba Becholim Shiel. And I'll bring everybody back. It seems like ages ago, but really it's just a few months ago. 6 months ago, most of the world here in America was fixated at the Sima Shas. People who were sitting quite cold in the stadium in the East Coast, New Jersey, with all the complaints and all the, gosh, frigid day, sitting out in the stadium for hours, how much would we all give to be back there again? Shoulder to shoulder, coat to coat, with other Jews connecting, oh, do we yearn to come back to that? And at the end of the program, which the Israel of America does beautifully after each of the Sima Shasas. They have a dedication, they dedicate the Siyam to the Kedosh and the people who were killed in the Holocaust. And Chazdei Hashem, there still are some Kedoshim who were able to be there, Sheir Sapleta. And one of the things that they do, besides making a Kalmale for them, is they sing Animamim. The Animamim they sing is not just any song of Animamim. It was a niggun that was composed in the Holocaust by people on the way to their death. Imagine something more powerful. These words the Rambam wrote, that he told us, he spent much time and much effort to get clarity and get to the source of it. Animamim b'munu shleimah b'viyas ha-mashiach. Imagine a Yid on the way to the death chamber in Auschwitz was singing the song, was misboning in the song. Even though in his life it's about to be cut short and he does not yet see Mashiach, even at death's door, there's no doubt people like that were looking down at the Siyam HaShas, looking down any time he didn't get together, they gather, they sing that Animamim, it's alive in posa chakelo v'chol yom sheyavo. As Hashem, we should all be zocha to not only yearn for Mashiach, but as Hashem, to see the coming of Mashiach in here of Yemenu. Amen. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful week.